haven't talked about yoga in quite some time, and so that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about yoga during the lockdown, the sequester, the shelter in place that we've all got going on. For yoga practitioners, people who do yoga every day, this is kind of difficult because usually we do it in a studio, and so I'm going to talk about what I'm doing and how it's actually deepened my yoga practice. In podcast 925, the Bob Davis Podcasts. We are going to talk about the challenges of the situation with this pandemic, and we're going to talk about yoga and, of course, the whole point of doing yoga. And I'm going to talk about doing yoga at home in this podcast is to deal with the stress and all the other issues related to this whole pandemic. And I'll tell you something else in an area where this is also a big issue, and that's real estate. Whether you're buying, you're selling, you're a renter, you are an investor and you have renters in your property, contractors that didn't come back and finish the work, all that kind of stuff. Okay, so I'm going to start out by just simply recommending a real estate attorney, and that is Tim LaCroix at LaCroix Law. Because it doesn't matter what your problem is, whether you're a renter, as I said, you have investment property and you have renters in it. Commercial property is a huge thing, especially right now. So as you're trying to figure out what to do about a particular issue, or even if you're just buying or selling a house at this time, because people are still doing that, you need to have a real estate attorney that really has the experience and knowledge to know whether you litigate it or whether you have to write a letter or who you talk to, because the thing is, real estate law is pretty complex. And so buyers, sellers, renters, commercial property owners, commercial property investors need to understand what their rights are. And that's where Tim LaCroix comes in, because Tim LaCroix, as I said, has the experience and knowledge, especially for first-time home buyers and for commercial real estate. Real estate is, again, complex. And oftentimes people just sign something when they're handed a pen. They don't understand their rights. They don't understand what they're doing. They forgot the most important step, and that is an attorney. Get Tim LaCroix, LaCroix Law. Real estate attorneys, residential, commercial, contractor and construction, residential rentals, mortgage and community associations, all those things are impacting all of us right now. Wouldn't it be better to get a consultation with Tim LaCroix at LaCroix Law? You can call him at 763-226-0758. That's 763-226-0758. Or click on the banner at the top of the page of the Bob Davis Podcast.com, which has the LaCroix Law banner, and that takes you to Tim's LinkedIn page, and you can DM him, and you guys can go from there. So, Tim LaCroix, LaCroix Law, real estate attorneys. Now, here's something you don't need an attorney for, but I got to tell you, I have very strong feelings about my printer and my print cartridges, because print cartridges are really expensive, especially now. They can save you at Cartridge World up to 30% on your print cartridge compared to big box stores. I get all tongue-tied because I get very excited talking about Cartridge World. Free delivery on qualifying orders. If you want to do curbside service, you can get it at Cartridge World in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway. Call them. They will hook you up, 763-420-6632, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Yeah, it's time for a walk and talk. And of course, it's kind of just the moon is starting to be in the wane mode at this point. And it's great because it's cloudy and it's been cold in the northern reaches of the nation the last few days, and so it's kind of nice out here. It's still cold, obviously, but the cool thing is that with the moon up, even though it's cloudy, the moon is kind of diffused through the clouds, and so it's bright, but it's just a bright night. Even though we have clouds, it's the moon is up, and so that it's not pitch dark out here, which is kind of nice. And of course, I always like coming out to the park and walking up and down the railroad tracks and stuff like that when I do a nighttime walk and talk. And this park has kind of been real good to me over the years. I've spent a lot of time just kind of grounding in this park, especially in the summer. I don't come up that much out here in the winter because I usually go to one end of the park where there's a hill where the kids, go up and down the hill and they're slides. It's a sliding hill during the winter, and during the summer it's just kind of unused. And on hot summer days, I love to come out and sit on that mound and look out over the field, and it's kind of neat. So I wanted to do a podcast about yoga for a lot of reasons, you know, and I'm going to just say a couple of things which might be interpreted as political. They're not, to begin this, to kind of set the stage for the conversation about yoga. We have now reached a point where you have to have a partisan position on coronavirus, COVID-19, the disease it causes, and the quote-unquote shutdown. And even though in most states the shutdowns are not draconian, they're essentially voluntary, and I know people are being arrested in places like that, and we see stories about that, but most people are, you know, sheltering in place because they don't want to get coronavirus, okay? And one of the things I've noticed that now even that has reached a point where people have been driven into positions on what to do about this. And, you know, I am not qualified to tell people whether they are right and wrong or wrong concerning their position on on what to do about the coronavirus. I'm going to do what I do. You can do what you do, and that's fine. I'm not going to worry too much about that. But I do think that this is the beginning of a major change in paradigm, at the very least. Now, people who listen to yoga podcasts, people who do yoga, obviously we operate on a little bit different frequency than the rest of the country. If you practice yoga every day, then you're more aware of some of these concepts that would suggest that when a consciousness changes or flips, then in a sense we're changing and switching up timelines and changing the world that we live in. You know, literally, maybe even quantum jumping. And I have a whole bunch of theories about that. I've talked about it in podcasts. I'm not sure that science supports a lot of that. It's really metaphysics. But I do think, and I've thought for a long time, that something was coming. All of us are going to approach whatever that thing is or was from whatever socialization or mode that we're in. Now, I just want to say real quickly, because I think it's really cool, I'm standing on the railroad tracks. And if you listen very carefully, above the railroad tracks, of course, are the power lines. And normally I would say that I don't like that because I don't like having that buzz of power lines behind me. But that's fascinating that the microphone picks that up and the machine picks that up. That sound of, that buzzing sound is the electricity running through those wires. And it's another one of those ephemeral forces that's unseen and unheard. And so, again, for yoga practitioners, we understand very well this concept of energy, and this concept of energy shifts and changes. And one of the things that I felt for a long time is that we were going to have one of these. And as I said, people were going to have to approach it from their own perspectives, and they're going to have to deal with whatever happens in terms of their own perspectives. And then this happened, and no one could have predicted this, even though people will claim that they could have, and that it's, you know, it's not, you know, I could never have predicted that this thing was going to happen to the degree that it's happened and the difficulties that we have encountered with it in terms of this pandemic. Yeah, there were movies made about it and stuff. But, and yeah, we had The Walking Dead, and yeah, we had sort of odd sort of, you know, maybe you could call them warning signs, things of that nature, pop culture warning signs. But nobody really could have predicted that this was going to happen just the way that it's happened. And yet, if you know me, and I mean if you know me outside of the circles that I, you know, normally would be known in, but if you know me from yoga, you know that I very much have had this sense that that we were going to be headed for, you know, a turnabout, headed for, you know, coming around into a different wind, like in sailing. When you come around, you got to switch the sail and switch everything over because you're going to tack in a different direction. And that's what's happening. And it's happening slowly. It's happening without any sense of where we're going. It's happening And this is what's really confusing and difficult about this time, is we don't know where this is going to go. We don't know when it's going to end. We don't know who's going to get this. But I feel as though we're at the beginning of this process. We're not at the end of it. I think that the coronavirus is the trigger for the rest of this to happen. And I would be crazy if I told people, here's what's going to happen. And you're starting to see those articles too. Here's what's going to happen, and here's where it's going to go, and here's how things are going to change. We don't know how it's going to change. I don't know how people are going to handle this. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So what do I do? Well, for those of us that practice yoga, and practice yoga every day, it doesn't matter. Right? Because the whole process, the whole point of doing yoga is to transcend that and to be here now. That's what it's for. It's a way of focusing the mind so that we don't have to think about what's going to happen tomorrow, even if it's just for an hour. We're thinking about what we're doing. And for that reason, it is hard if you practice yoga. If you're like me, you probably practice yoga in a yoga studio. So you go to a studio every day where it's heat and, you know, light and everything else controlled. And there's music and there's a teacher and there's a process. And you go in and you just do your thing and you follow the class. The class is led by a teacher. And that's what we've been doing. And that's what I've been doing every day for years. And in some cases, twice a day for years. And enjoying the yoga community and enjoying the teachers and enjoying the whole process as this little sort of oasis every day when you can go someplace and it's positive and it's upbeat and you can focus on doing your yoga and you don't think about anything else for an hour. And you sweat and you take a shower and you go home and you've sort of expunged the demons every day. Now, if you're a type A person, and I think most people who practice yoga are, but if you're a type A person, especially if you're the kind of person that does the sculpt classes, which is pretty intense physical activity for an hour, or the hot yoga classes, which is what I started with, the only people I ever knew that did hot yoga were super type A people. They were not mellow people. And I certainly was the least mellow of all of them. So it's a great way to learn to focus the mind. And that is what I have been doing for all these years that I've been practicing yoga for, what, 20 years. I've never ceased to be amazed at the result of doing a yoga class, no matter what kind of stress I'm experiencing, the ability I wouldn't call it the ability, but the result of a practice, especially daily practice, to clear your head. So how then do you achieve the same result with a daily practice in a situation where you don't have the studio anymore for whatever reason? Studios are closed. So unless you're a teacher and you're able to convene with other teachers, you're pretty much on your own. So if you're, and I'm not a teacher, so basically, there is no studio to go to. So what do we do? And we're going to talk about that in the second half of this podcast. You know what I'm really excited about, in addition to all the yoga, is, and this is so silly, but it's true, I get to advertise the fueling station at 36 and Lindale Avenue because I've been passing that place and going to that place for years, and I'm so excited to have Lonnie and the guys sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts, and would love and very happy to welcome the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36 and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in Minneapolis. Not only are the guys at 36 and Lynn refueling out to help the community, they got a great selection of locally sourced products in there in the store, from great coffee to burritos, I've mentioned, and tons of other stuff, drinks, you know, great stuff, food to go, and coffee. So remember 36 and Lynn, next time you're swinging through Minneapolis and Uptown, you need gas or a cup. For more info, great 36 Lynn events as well. Check them out online at 36lynn.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, I've been talking to you about Whitetail Builders, which is a guy who is an amazing contractor and a great craftsman, Randy Grabo. And I've been saying, hey, you know, what's your favorite dream? What would your dream home look like? And I got to tell you, I'm going to put it to you this way. This is what I look at when I look at the place that I live in. It's a rental property. I don't own it. But if I was to own it, I just look at the things that I could do. And I could tell you, the first thing that I would do is that I would put in a big garage with a concrete top so I could pull Mobile Podcast Command down into the garage. And then I would have a concrete deck and I would have a wood stove down in the basement. And I would take up the crappy carpeting in the basement and I put in a really awesome, you know, concrete floor and do in-floor heat and have a great master bathroom down there with a steam room and a new kitchen. And, you know, here's the thing. This is what Randy does. He especially loves to do kitchens and new bathrooms, and that is what he is doing. So if you're in your house and you're starting to think of all the cool things that you could do, this is the guy you want to talk to, Randy Grabo at Whitetail Builders. They're available at whitetailbuildersinc.com, or you can click on the Whitetail Builders banner at the top of the page. Call Randy because he loves talking to people about their dreams. I'm sure I'd love to have me bend his ear about my crazy ideas. 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Again, they're focused on details, and they will help you build your dream because they're going to be with you every step of the way. That's what they do. And of course, my dream, Randy, is dependent on me winning the lottery. So I'll let you know when that happens. So what do you do if you don't have the ability to go to the studio anymore? So there's really three things that I really miss for my daily practice at the studio. One is the community. The second thing is the studio itself, the physical ability to control the heat and the humidity. And the third thing is the directed class, where somebody is, you know, telling you what to do next. Up dog, down dog, you know, right leg high, etc. Or you're getting the, you know, you're following someone to lead you through the process. And of course, most people that have been practicing for a while, we know what to do. It's not like we need someone to teach us. But you do learn, and you are being taught, because teachers are telling you to try this or to try that or to modify that, or this is okay or that's okay, or they're going to work you through some sort of inversion or a new pose that you don't want to do, because we're all creatures of habit. We like to do the thing we like to do, and we don't want to be pushed. Even if it's a static series like, you know, the Bikram series, you know, we don't want to be pushed to hold standing bow. You know, we don't want to be pushed to have to, you know, do Warrior 3 longer than we feel comfortable doing. So being pushed is something that is also a great result from really good teachers know how far to push you, and they give you the opportunity to allow yourself to be pushed or not to allow yourself to be pushed, whatever it is. And that's how you learn to do standing head to knee and hold it, or standing bow and hold it, and those things. And then, you know, the benefits that come from that kind of concentration, as well as the physical benefits, are part of the practice. And so when you don't have that anymore, well, you have to depend on yourself. And a lot of my friends are doing online classes. Some people have DVDs from when they started doing yoga 30 years ago, and they've still got the DVD laying around, and they've put that in and they practice with that. Or they've got one of the big ones is the Bikram tape. Bikram made a tape years ago and put it on CD, and a lot of people have that. And so it's just an audio version of Bikram. I don't know if there's a video version of Bikram, but, you know, I've actually practiced at a Bikram studio to the Bikram tape, which was kind of funny, because it was in California, and the teacher was like, you know, there's only me and her in the class, and she was like, I'm just going to play the tape, and then we'll both practice. And it was fine. We had a good time. It was actually three of us that did that, and it was great. So I've heard that thing many times, and I know that. I don't have that. And so what I decided to do was, okay, this is the moment that you have been waiting for. Because for years I've said, you know, I want to develop a yoga practice that I can do anywhere when I'm traveling or whatever. And my experience with travel and things like that is, you think you're going to do yoga, and you're like, I'm going to take this mat and I'm going to do yoga. And then you either end up going to a studio to do your yoga, or you end up doing yoga. You know, you end up doing a few down dogs, and then you're not really able to do a practice, because it's not something that you have personally developed. Now, I'm speaking for myself right now. I know a lot of people who've done yoga a long time have developed home practices and they practice at home. And I've never been able to understand that, you know. I'm just like, why would you do that when you can come here? You know, when you can come to the studio and have humidity and heat controlled and everything else, why would you even bother to practice at home, you know? You know, and so I really never thought about it until I was locked down. So at the very beginning of this thing, whenever it started, like March 10th or something, I don't really remember when we, I think it was March 15th when Minnesota said, okay, we're going to shelter in place. And then sort of it sort of started, but it was kind of underway sort of before then as we watched this thing go in February and in March. I don't even remember when it started. And then it was like watching a storm coming. And then we were all home, and then I think they closed the yoga studio March 15th or something, maybe later, a little bit later, March 20th or something. And I was double dipping and at class up to the very last second to, because we just had done a challenge, you know, a 30-day challenge. So, you know, I did everything I could do to just get as much in as I could. And then after that, I just sat around for 2 days. 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, and then 2 weeks. And then I thought, at first I thought, well, I'm going to get fat if I don't do something. And then the second thing I thought was, you know, this is something that you've been saying for a long time, that one of the things that you want to do is have a daily yoga practice that's disciplined and that you can do. So I said, okay, I'm gonna come up with a daily yoga practice. And the first thing I did was I pulled some tunes from my iTunes library, and I put together a little 1 hour yoga tape with music. And then I decided, well, the one thing I know I can do is the hot series. I can do the 20. I remember the 26 Bikram poses. And then I thought, well, you know what's really cool that I really forgot that I really enjoyed was the sun salutes. And so what I'll do is I'll do 25 sun salutes, and then I'll do the hot series. I won't. So it's the 26 postures without the first breathing posture, because I hate that ujjayi breathing posture at the beginning. I still do ujjayi breath, but I do 25 sun salutes, and then I do the Bikram. And I did that for about a week. And it was hard to get it like exactly an hour. And so what I had to do was sit there and add up the times. So I'd go through all the songs and go, hey, that's 1 minute and 14, 3:15, that's 5 minutes. Then, you know, the next song is 8 minutes long, that's 15, you know, 12 or whatever it is, 13. And then I just kept working my way down until I knew which song was an hour. And so I figured I'll just keep doing postures until I'm done, you know, and we'll see how long it was. The first time I did it, it was like 32 minutes. So that's when I added the sun salutes, because I'm just going to put the sun salutes in, because then that's going to take me to 1 hour. And then finally I got the 26 postures right along with the sun salute. And this is what's really great about this. So I can't say enough about the 25 sun salutes, because, so, you know, sun salutes, you know, hands to heart, you know, equal standing pose, forward fold, hands to the floor, you know, halfway lift, flat back, chaturanga, you know, up dog, down dog, and either hop or step to the front. Great, I could do that. Well, I can do it. Can you do it 25 times? Yes, I know I can, but that initial week or two of doing 25 sun salutes every day, let me tell you something, that is a powerful thing to do. So then I thought, well, I'm gonna look up the Ashtanga pose, the series one, Ashtanga series one, and try to incorporate these. So then I started into having a vinyasa flow, trying to incorporate some of these Ashtanga postures in, and then some of the Ashtanga postures that I learned, you know, as well doing yoga. So then after about a week or two, I had developed a vinyasa practice so I can alternate back and forth. So then last week, I found myself kind of getting bored and taking a break. And I just want to say one more thing, and this is just funny. But I decided I'm going to teach the class because there's nobody around, so why not? So I teach the class, and I just basically pretended to be the teacher. And now I'm teaching myself. So then I'm saying one more inch for one more second, and I'm saying, you know, you need to hold this posture longer, and I'm doing the whole thing. And then last week, I think I was getting bored. So I found myself taking Wednesday of last week off. Oh, I think, I know what it was. My son came into town and we decided to go get Chinese food and hang out. And we just didn't, there was just no time to practice yoga. Remember, I'm doing yoga at 9:30, 10:30 p.m., sometimes midnight. So my practice comes at 11:30 or midnight or 10:30, the earliest. So then because I had taken Wednesday off, I was like, well, I've got to do something special. And this is what I want to talk about in this podcast. This is the key, and we're coming to the end, so this is perfect. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? Because I've done this a few times where every year we would do, twice a year we would do the 108 sun salutes on the solstice or the equinox, whatever that is, that thing that happens every year when in between the change of seasons on December 22nd, and then also when we switch over to summer, right? It's a little early for that, but it is a full moon. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the 108. And I thought about it for about a week, and then I thought, God dang it, I'm going to do it. So Thursday, I went down and I cranked out 108 sun salutes, and I did it in 52 minutes. And by the way, the sun salute thing, so at first, the 25 sun salutes every day. So there's 25 sun salutes, whether it's the vinyasa or whether it's the hot postures. And I'm sitting in front of a space heater and turning the heat all the way up. So it's not real super hot, but it's hotter than it would be if I didn't do that. So that those 25 sun salutes, the first week, you can barely even do them. And then after about 3 weeks, you know, I'm doing a double push-up and I'm jumping up and I'm hopping when I flip and doing all this crazy stuff. And it's like, bang, knocking right through them. And so I did what I consider to be fairly perfect executions of 108 sun salutes and just a set of 25, a set of 25, a set of 25, and a set of 25, and then eight more. Bang. And whew, it is an amazing thing to do. If that's all you did, you know, if that's all I did every day, it would be an amazing practice. And I may actually do a week of it, 108 sun salutes, because it's an amazing experience, you know, to do. If you've never done it, it's an amazing experience, because what happens is you get really emotional about three quarters of the way in. You get really emotional, you know, you tear up, you know, you start thinking about things that make you super emotional, you know, and then you come out of it and you're high as a kite for a day. Like, you come out of it and you don't really realize how high your consciousness is. For me, I come out of doing that 108 and my ears are ringing, and I keep thinking, why are my ears ringing? You know, did I listen to something too loud, or am I on the phone too much, or is that the phone near my ear or something? No, it's just your ears are ringing, and it's an amazing experience. So what has happened is now I have a practice that I can do anywhere by myself. And it allows me to focus my mind. It allows me to meditate, if you will. And it allows me a physical break from the boredom that is this experience we're having. But here's the real most important takeaway for me. This is what I think about when I think about this. The fortitude that it requires to come up with and do and maintain this daily practice. You have to pull it from somewhere, and you have to grab it, and you have to use whatever you can to make sure that you do it every day. This is when I say you, I'm just talking. I'm not pointing at somebody and saying you. I'm just saying me, you know? And I'm really proud of that. That's a takeaway from this experience that will not be something that I will lose, is being able to and having the confidence to know that, hey, if I can't practice yoga someplace, I can practice yoga right here, and I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to do 25 sun salutes in the hot series, or I'm going to do 25 sun salutes in a vinyasa series, or I'm just going to do 108 sun salute for fun. You know, I know exactly what I'm going to do, and I know that that's going to get deepened as this goes forward. So if you're doing yoga and you're trying to do Zoom conference yoga, or you're you know, you're trying to watch a DVD or something like that, you can download the poses. If you know, if you've done yoga and you can download the poses online, you can pull charts of the poses if that's what you want. You can actually probably, I haven't checked it, but you can probably pull, you know, a whole series that's unique, and you can follow that, or you can just repeat what you know and grow from that spot. And you can say, you know, I'm going to add crow tonight, or I'm going to add an inversion tonight, or I'm going to try a handstand up against the wall tonight, or I'm going to do this or that. And you can mix and match as long as you can carve out 1 hour so that you can do yoga every day. And I do recommend the 25 sun salutes because they really focus you more so. Because first of all, if you're going to do the hot series, you need to be warmed up. And 25 sun salutes will warm you up. And if you ujjayi breathe during those 25 sun salutes, you'll be hot. It definitely gets you, pulls a sweat up at least. And of course, as the days get longer and it gets warmer, well, then it'll get more humid and a lot more warm down there in the basement where I'm doing yoga. And so then we will have, you know, an approximate hot yoga studio, which is great. So that is what I'm doing, and I love it, and it's helping me, and it's making me happy in spite of all this crazy stuff going on. And it's also helping me figure out, you know, how I can meet these challenges, because I'm not going to meet those challenges sitting there and stewing in my own juices and being intense and being anxious and concerned. And if I don't do yoga every day, then the more onerous parts of my personality emerge. When I do yoga every day, I'm way happier. And I would rather talk about yoga anytime, anywhere, with anybody than the rest of this crap that we're having to deal with. Because this is a sunshine thing. This makes everybody happy, yoga. So, there you go. Well, I always got to talk about my friend Mark Korn at Depot Star, who doesn't do yoga. We'd love to get him in the yoga studio, but what he does do is he runs a great manufacturing company. And with people, if you're up in the chain in a manufacturing company and you need to get things manufactured in the United States, which is becoming a problem because the lockdowns dealing with foreign countries can be difficult. So if you are thinking about bringing some of your manufacturing back to the United States, look no further than Depot Star, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing in Ramsey, Minnesota. Visit their website at depostar.com. That's DEPOTSTAR, depostar.com. Okay, thanks for listening to this podcast about yoga. I really appreciate that. And of course, I always say I'm always a student because I don't teach. I am totally a practitioner and a yogi and a student. I do teach myself, but no one can come to that class but me. Even though I sit there and I'm like, yep, okay. So I talk about people in the class, but there's nobody in it. Anyway, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. Podcast 900. What is this? 925. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes. Tune in on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. I have streaming also. You can click on individual podcasts and listen to them right off the page. I think the best service for Android devices is probably Spotify. Just download the app and search for thebobdavispodcast.com or the Bob Davis Podcast. Stitcher.com as well. And liking and sharing, but not comments so much on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and even LinkedIn. We don't like getting political on LinkedIn, so I appreciate it if you just share it, if you like it, and that's about it. Thanks for your donations also from Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Thank you, Don Anger and the Petrangelos in Minneapolis. And again, thank you for listening to Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 925. Namaste. Bye-bye.
Keep on shining. Shine on the one it's gone and proved and true. Blue moon up Kentucky.